Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's been 5 years since a Duke Energy coal ash dump failed and spilled 38,000 tons of toxic sludge into the Dan River near Eden, North Carolina. Since that time, environmental advocates have been demanding that state regulators force Duke to do what it is already doing in other states, move the remaining coal ash to permanent lined landfills. One of those advocates is Ridge Graham of the group Appalachian Voices. We caught up with Ridge in his Boone, North Carolina office recently to get an update on where things stand, how coal ash cleanups are proceeding in other states, and what needs to happen next in North Carolina. Well, Ridge Graham, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Let's talk about Appalachian Voices, the organization that you're the field coordinator for in North Carolina. Remind our listeners a little bit about who and what Appalachian Voices is and the kind of work you do.
All right, so Appalachian Voices is a regional organization in the Southeast. We cover North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee. Most of our work mainly deals with energy issues, so dealing with pipelines, dealing with cleaning up coal ash, as well as trying to work with utilities to try and implement services that will reduce people's energy usage. We also have an office in Southwest Virginia that works with trying to bring new economies to places where coal mining has disappeared, has moved farther into West Virginia with the amount of mountaintop removal mining that they're doing. And we also do community organizing for folks who are impacted by the negative effects of the way we produce energy in the Southeast.
Critically important work. And of course, the problems that come with how we produce energy in the Southeast are increasingly evident to all of us. And one of them, of course, is that we're just past the five-year anniversary of the terrible coal ash disaster in the Dan River, the big spill that took place at a Duke Energy facility. I think it was one of your colleagues whose hand in the Dan River became sort of an emblematic, iconic photograph of that disaster. Talk to us about what you know about where things stand with respect to that big cleanup.
Even still to this day, there's still coal ash at the bottom of the Dan River. Only about 5 to 10% of the coal ash was actually recovered from the spill, and there was about 39,000 tons that actually went into the river. Coal ash itself is a solid, but sitting in the riverbed bottom, it's not. It's acting as kind of like a really thick sludge fluid, and it's still moving downstream, and it's going to eventually make its way into the Carr Reservoir that's on the North Carolina-Virginia border. From there, it'll be almost unrecoverable.
And we know that it's not exactly a friendly substance either, right? Coal ash has got all kinds of nasty stuff in it.
Right. It's got all kinds of heavy metals that we see in folks' drinking water around the actual coal ash ponds, stuff like arsenic and lead, mercury, hexavalent chromium. These are all carcinogens, cancer-causing chemicals, and they also, you know, have other various effects in the body, like neurological issues, heart disease, breathing issues. And we see a lot of those effects in the communities that these coal ash ponds reside in.
Yeah, we know that even where there hasn't been a quote-unquote spill, there are numerous coal ash sites around North Carolina that are located near major rivers. Because of the sort of perverse way we've gone about storing this stuff, it's kept in a state of sort of in this sludgy liquid state. And we know that it is leaking, and it's obviously just a temporary status that we have this stuff. And there needs to be a better solution to what we do with this stuff in the long run. The debate seems to be with Duke Energy, how do we dry this stuff out and move it to a place where we can have it in a permanent landfill? But Duke's sort of resisting that, right?
Right, correct. Yeah. So right now, the Department of Environmental Quality is looking at different closure options for the six of the 14 remaining sites. Some of the sites have been fully excavated, like in Riverbend outside of Charlotte. Some sites have a recycling facility built at them where they're going to turn coal ash into concrete. So the remaining sites, what Duke Energy wants to do is to basically consolidate as much of the ash into a big pile and then just put a thin liner over it and a bunch of dirt and clay, which isn't going to remove it from the groundwater table. It's not going to prevent any kind of migration of heavy metals into neighbors' wells. And we're seeing folks outside of a half-mile boundary where folks either have filtration systems or water lines that were provided by recent legislation. They're still seeing effects of these heavy metals in their drinking water, and this isn't going to help them. And one of the things that Duke is pushing for is basically trying to pick the cheapest option, which I just discussed. But the thing is, the Department of Environmental Quality has said in these meetings that just happened this past January is that the cheapest options aren't going to be a permanent solution. They're basically just going to do as much as they can to mitigate the amount of contaminants they're getting into the groundwater and to nearby surface waters and rivers and lakes. And to us, that's just not acceptable. And to the communities around there, it's also not acceptable. With the Dan River spill, there's a couple things that are just kind of important to take from it. And the fact is that the Dan River site was shuttered in 2012, and the spill happened 2 years later. And they only recovered about, 5 to 10% of the ash from it, but they could have had an 100% effective solution if they had just properly stored and cleaned up the ash in the first place. And that's all we're asking for at these other six sites.
And that's what the people in the communities have been saying, right? I mean, when they've having these public hearings, the people have pretty much been coming out in droves with a sort of uniform voice, then let's safely store it, right?
Right. Yeah. At every single site, there has been unanimous support for excavation. And these folks are just asking for the same protections that folks are getting in South Carolina, where they've fully excavated all of the sites down there, including Duke Energy sites in South Carolina, where they've seen an over 90% improvement of the groundwater contamination in those areas. And then also Virginia just recently announced that they're going to fully excavate their coal ash storage of Dominion Energy's coal ash ponds. The folks in North Carolina, they've said, our neighbors to the north, our neighbors to the south are getting the proper protection. And eight sites in North Carolina are also getting the proper protection that they need. Why are you leaving out these other six?
Yeah, it seems an especially sort of ironic in that Duke Energy itself is already agreed to do this full excavation and move it to a lined landfill and get it out of harm's way in places like South Carolina. I mean, is there any other reason that they just don't want to spend the money here in North Carolina?
As far as I can tell, no. And in Indiana, where they also have coal ash storage, they just recently submitted similar closure proposals to the Environmental Department of Indiana. And it was very similar to what we saw in North Carolina, and those were rejected because Indiana's environmental department pointed out that because these sites would still be in the groundwater table, it doesn't meet federal coal ash laws and therefore would not be an effective cleanup solution. And we're just asking for the state to do the same thing.
I know there's the notion of reusing some of the coal ash and turning it into concrete. Recently, there was a proposal in Chatham County here close to the, not too far from the Triangle where we're located, about burning coal ash in order to get it into you're burning it a second time in effect to get it into a state where it can be used for recycling purposes, as I understand it, perhaps putting it into concrete. But there's some concerns there too, right? Because that's not a 100% clean process all the time.
With any kind of industrial process, there's going to be some form of pollution, whether it's air or water. We push for them to have the best protections as they possibly could. And these recycling facilities are nowhere close to the emissions that an actual running coal burning power plant has that are in these communities. We're in these communities in the first place.
We hope that they can figure out a way to do that with as little impact as possible. So what's going on now? Let's let our listeners know exactly what the process is. DEQ, am I right, is going to decide in April about these remaining six pits. Is that right?
There should be public hearings in April where they're going to have a more formal decision of what they do with these closure plans. But right now, until February 15th, the DEQ is still receiving comments on public feedback about which closure option folks that the department should follow through with. There's email addresses that folks can send in their comments to, and we have all of that on the abvoices.org website.
Okay, that's really helpful. So people, let's make that clear. If people want to weigh in on this issue, they can get their comments to the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, and let them know what they think about how the coal ash should be properly disposed of. And they can get the addresses where they can make those comments by going to the Appalachian Voices website, which again is appvoices.org. Am I right?
Correct.
We'd urge our listeners to check that out, learn more about Appalachian Voices and all the fine work they're doing, help them out, volunteer. Ridge, we can't thank you enough for being with us. We hope we'll talk to you real soon and discuss how there's been some success on this front.
I really appreciate it. Have a good one.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.